outrageous is what you get from Warrior Connection, the Progressive Radio Network. Dr. Gary Knoll has done incredible work on helping veterans, identifying the medical problems we have and how to take care of us. Numerous reports and numerous documentaries. We're going to take a step into history, ladies and gentlemen. This is an extraordinary program that we have planned for today. And to begin it out, as all the veterans, and one thing we've all looked at, and going back to the 60s and since, a thing went through our mind and says, yes, and how many times must a cannonball fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to focus on Bob Dylan. We have the experts on Bob Dylan. Dylan Fest is coming up in Duluth, Minnesota. And wow, this is going to be exciting. So to guide our program today is my cousin, Bonnie Rocky Tennis. She's up in Bemidji, Minnesota. And today's her 48th wedding anniversary. So, again, thank you, Bonnie. And, wow. Bonnie, welcome to Warrior Connection. You can introduce our guest.
Hi, Doug. This is really an honor for me because I love the poet in Bob Dylan. As a poet, I really could see how he took poetry and put it to music. And it's very impressive. You talked about the Dylan days coming up. Bob Dylan's birthday is May 24th, and it's that week that they're doing this. And I just am so pleased today to introduce Brad Nelson. He was born in Duluth. He grew up in Brainerd. He's back in Duluth. He's a musician in the band, the Boomchucks. And he's the current president of the Duluth Dylan Fest. And he will tell us about the festivities, the purpose, the impact. And he also has brought a guest with whom he will introduce. And another thing he'll tell us about is Duluth does Dylan's CD with local musicians on the CD. So, Brad, are you there?
I am indeed. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for having us on the program today. We're really, really excited to be a part of it and be on the Warrior Connection. I'm here with my friend. Great. This is my friend John Bushy. John is the host of I believe, the world's only Dylan show that allows bootlegs to be played. Is that right, John?
Pretty much, yeah. And this will be 25 years I've done the show here at KUMD Radio.
So that's called Highway 61 Revisited. If people want to find it online on KU, we're calling in actually from our local public radio station, and we want to thank them for letting us use their phone lines today and setting us up in the studio. It's KUMD 103.3 FM in Duluth. We're really excited about the Bob Dylan Festival. It's coming up, as you said, over his birthday, which is on May 24th, and that's going to be one of the real peaks of the week, actually. Even though it lands on a Tuesday, we're going to throw a big birthday party and celebration here in Duluth for Bob. In addition, we can maybe get into this later, we're going to have a museum display up here in Duluth over the whole month of May it's going to be incredible, and it's going to rewrite some of the Bob Dylan history, actually, that's out there. And John, as a Dylanologist, can talk much more in depth to the history and what the significance of the different artifacts are in that museum.
It seems Bob Dylan, I mean, the impact that he's had on all of us is staggering beyond comprehension. The impact for me is very special. I mean, Ray, and the impact for you is very special. Bonnie, the impact is you. I'm not sure that Bob Dylan had any idea or concept or intent to have the impact that his music and his poetry has had on all of us for now multiple generations, for 50 years. I mean,
Wow. It's pretty incredible, and it's kind of, that's kind of at the heart and soul of why we do, you know, we're a group of volunteers that are trying to get this Duluth Dylan Fest together and off the ground, and really we're doing it in part, of course, to honor our native son, Bob Dylan, who was born here. He lived in Duluth on the hillside here over Lake Superior until he was six, and then moved up to the Iron Range in Hibbing, which is very closely connected to our own cultural identity. They basically mine the iron ore up where Bob Bob spent his formative years, and then they ship it down here to Duluth, and we ship it out on Lake Superior. And so that's, we share similar cultures and economies and everything. So we're proud of the fact that, and I guess this is, so we celebrate that, but we also, I guess it's for us too, because it's incredibly inspiring to know that someone who was born here and had the same humble existence as a, you know, growing up, and that he somehow gathered those ideas and went out and changed the world and impacted all of us so much. So it's kind of a back and forth celebration, and we also think it's just kind of interesting to explore what is our own culture, what's the culture that influenced Dylan, and so we sort of do that by tapping into the artists that are still living and working here today.
Well, I just think of all the stages that he's gone through in his writing. You know, when I was young, he was in the Blown in the Wind and the song A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. And I was reading on the internet that was written at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so he had a really heavy load on it, on inside of him, you know, describing that. It was like a nuclear holocaust in that song, and it must have been pretty heavy because I think he wrote it when he was 21.
And you know, I'd like, this is John Bushy, I'd like to just add in, too, that he wrote several songs along that same theme, talking World War III blues in a humorous sense, and as you said, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. And there was a song he wrote for Izzy Young of the Folklore Center that he never sang that was called Go Away You Bomb. And that was at a time in our history when fear of nuclear war and school kids would have to practice going under the desks. And it was a time in our history when that was on a lot of people's minds. And it was obviously on Bob Dylan's as well. And as he slowly moved from that type of writing into more, you know, civil rights type of writing, I think Bob Dylan to me is someone that has, you know, does what he does when he does it, and then he doesn't really look back, but he looks forward. He's always moving forward. One of my favorite comments he's made is, an artist has to constantly be in the state of becoming. And I think that, you know, people around the world have taken that to heart, that's what he does. He's always changing. And people always expect something from him that sometimes he'll give it and sometimes he won't.
I think one thing that's important, that he's still got the never-ending tour. He has been on tour doing 100-plus gigs a year for 50 years.
That's amazing.
Well, I was looking at the Rolling Stone article from the magazine on his birthday when he was 70, and they said that they listed 300 of his songs, but he'd written many more, and at least 359, but it's probably even more than that. And wow, that's incredible.
Really,
you know?
Is so prolific, just amazing.
Yeah.
So, and also with the festival coming up, as I mentioned, we do like to explore, you know, what's the DNA that's still, you know, probably still here, at least in pieces that influenced Dylan. So as a way to sort of honor him and for us to sort of show the relationship that exists between his influence on current artists and the culture that still exists, we produce a CD. We've done it every 5 years. We're on our fourth one, so the first one was 15 years ago. And maybe we could play a track of that. There's a band that's kind of a bluegrass band, or newgrass as they're sometimes called Trampled by Turtles. They've gained national acclaim. They you know, sell out Red Rocks out in Colorado and places like that. And they're from our town. And the front man, Dave Simonette, just recorded Boots of Spanish Leather, and I had the honor actually to play drums on this track. And should we play a track now from our Duluth Does Dylan?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting us play it.
One of the things that I've read up and everything, obviously, and we can see this through his writings and everything, obviously, Bob Dylan had an incredible learning experience with the great Woody Guthrie. Could you guys explain a little about the relationship between Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie?
Yeah, Bob left the University of Minnesota, in early 61, and he went out to New York City, where he actually, Woody was not in good health at the time. He was already in Greystone Hospital, and Bob Dylan had idolized Woody Guthrie. He read Bound for Glory, and, he thought it was almost the first On the Road by Kerouac, and he was highly influenced. As a matter of fact, there's stories that he would not even respond to his own name, at the time. He would only respond sometimes when he had a few drinks if you called him Woody. And so he had the ability to almost be like a sponge and absorb. And he would go to the hospital in New York at Greystone Hospital, and he was like a Woody Guthrie jukebox. He would just know all of his songs and just play Woody Guthrie, all of his songs. And that last song is an example of a love song for Suze Rotolo, who had gone to Italy. That was his girlfriend and the lady that appeared on The Freewheelin' Bob Dylan. And we talked earlier about some of the songs he wrote about Bob's, about bombs and things. And some of the original handwritten manuscripts will be on display here as part of our Bob Dylan exhibit, as part of our Duluth as Dylan Fest during the month of May up here. We'll be exhibiting a lot of those early things. But, by 1960, late 61, he started writing his own songs. And then once he started singing his own songs, it was like Woody Guthrie, that part of his life was kind of there. He learned, he took what he could, and he moved forward. He's always moving forward.
I mean, the music goes, when we look up and study and they think about it, we've got folk, we've got blues, we've got country, we have gospel, rock and roll, rockabilly, English, Scottish, and Irish folk music, jazz, the great American songbook, and then Dylan, just Dylan. How do we define this great man? Poet, political commentator?
That's a great question. How do you define him? I mean, just to bring up the exhibit we have, he's an artist. He paints. He does metal sculpture. He's considered a poet. He's obviously a fantastic musician, songwriter. But almost every label anyone has ever put on him, he's denied. Somebody once asked him, well, what are you, Bob? He says, I'm just a song and dance man. I mean, I don't think he wants to be labeled as anything specific, but you're right. I mean, the guy is just, his influence on popular culture and in the entire world of not just music, but almost everything he's gone through has just been profound, and it's influenced generation after generation. What was it you said? He's, the world, the never-ending tour. For 50 years, he's been on the road.
When we look at major influences in the music from the 60s, obviously for those of us that grew up in the 60s, it was incredible. A time of incredible strife and change and everything else. Vietnam had a massive impact. Ray, are you with us? I mean, what
I
was
am.
Happening
I
in
have
Vietnam
been listening
with Bob Dylan?
Like
you and I were talking about this earlier
totally
today.
Enjoyed it. Go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were saying what was happening with Bob Dylan over in combat, with the combat troops in Vietnam. You were explaining some stories earlier today.
Well, it seemed like Dylan and Guthrie and different ones to us, I mean, to me especially, they were like our connection back to Americana. We were over there fighting in a third world country, and we were in the jungles of Vietnam. And so most time you couldn't have a radio, but when somebody would have one, a small transistor radio, I would always look for those type of songs because they were like Americana to me. They were Dylan had a way of saying things, and he could force it or put an opinion out there without forcing it on somebody. And it was just like down the line of where we were, just a bunch of poor boys in a bad situation. But I was telling you, I said, when we got, one of the key words, I guess, in the 60s was get down. And I said, when we got new guys into the platoon or the squad, I'd always have to tell them, look, when I holler get down, I don't want you dancing because you're going to get shot. So you get down when I tell you to. And it's kind of some of those words like that passed on through, through a lot of generations maybe. But we were infected by the different, groups and different things back in America. But Dylan was always one of my favorites. I've always loved his music and Guthrie and different ones because I love Peter, Paul, and Mary and some of the other ones, the Simon, Garfunkel, different ones. It was a laid-back type of music to me, and it really spoke to me and a lot of their music. So I've always had a great, appreciation for that type of music.
Where does Joan Baez come into all of this, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I can tell you one thing is that, Joan Baez was famous well before Dylan, and she is partially responsible for bringing Bob Dylan to popularity to the masses. She would take Bob Dylan around to her shows and actually introduce him. They were actually introduced by somebody told Joan Baez about this kid playing at Gertie's Folk City in New York, and she says, this guy's a genius. You should hear what he's writing. And she goes, yeah, sure. And sure enough, when she heard him, they hit it off, and they did end up having a relationship for several years. They were very, very, very close. There's probably even talk of marriage at one time, but Joan Baez brought Bob around. And I love the way that one of you just put that. Bob Dylan has a way of almost understating something in opinion without trying to force it on you, but really drives home the point of the song. He drives home the point without overstating it. And this is a true story that Joan Baez was touring with Bob in 1960, late 64, early 65. And they went to a hotel, and Bob went to check in, but he was looking a little scruffy, not dressed really well, and the hotel guy just turned him down. And so Joan Baez was all mad. She had to go in and register for the two of them. And she said that night she watched Bob on the typewriter just sit down in a slight anger over the incident, wrote When the Ship Comes In. Just boom, sat down, typed that song, and there it was. And that was the way Dylan was. Things were just flowing out of him at the time, but she was the queen of folk. He was at one time considered kind of the king of folk, and many performances they would do together. As a matter of fact, they sang Blowing in the Wind one time together at the 1963 Newport Folk Festival, and Peter, Paul, and Mary went up on stage and joined in, and the Freedom Singers were up on stage and joined in, and songs like that had such power. And they were all coming from, as one of you said, this 21, 22, 23-year-old kid from Duluth and Hibbing, Minnesota.
I mean, another great anthem, obviously, for all of us that grew up in the 60s, and I think it's applicable today, is the times they are changing. I mean, where did that come from, and what does it mean? I mean, everyone, I think, can listen and sing these songs and play them, and they've been played many ways. And it's different from everybody. But where did these come from? Why have they had the impact they have, not just locally and nationally, but around the world for 50 years?
I think in part because they are smart, because of what Bonnie referred to. They're full of poetry and layers of meaning, and they're in so many ways, because they are those things, they're a blank canvas for what other people reflect off of them. Not in all cases, but the times they are changing. I mean, who can't relate to that? That's anyone's life, really. It's always changing, and you're always just about the time you think you have that point in your life figured out, you're another age older, and circumstances have spun on you again, so...
It's like a Rolling Stones song, that one.
Right.
Every single one of us has had to go through that. How does it feel to be on your own like a Rolling Stone? And I was just a kid when I started going out on my own, and that song was popular then, and it just fit. And I think we all can identify with things like that. That's the poet in him, and he knew people, and he knew their emotions, and he knew how to put them down.
And I think that is what, to answer the other question, I think that is why some of his songs have lasted so long, just like Woody Guthrie's, a song like Times They Are Changing, or, I mean, it was written, you know, nearly 50 years ago, and yet it could have been written last week. It still applies. It's just as valid today as it was back then.
I think, you know, even though he denies that, or has denied being a protest songwriter, but songs like Blowing in the Wind, I mean, there's a good example of putting something out there softly. It's just a question, you know, when are we going to learn? When are we going to stop trying to kill each other as countries going to war, things like that? And so, you know, and until the time comes that we actually stop having wars, and that's an irrelevant question, it just lingers on, and actually the longer that it floats out there, the more poignant it becomes. So whether or not he meant to, again, he just struck genius with that question.
It still is a lot of talk in hot air, you know.
Right.
We always are talking about that all the time, but nothing's done, so it's blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, but...
This is Ray, and I just want to put my opinion out there, too. And I just want to say that there's a lot of artists that write in different ways and different things, but some people write with their head, and other people write with their heart. And I think Dylan was one of those guys that wrote with his heart. He was already in there. It's just certain things would trigger, and it would bring those things out of him. And I think that calls for the depth of what he did and the impact he had on a lot of lives, including my own.
I mean, Dylan was there at the beginning. He was at the August 28, 1963 March on Washington, which is probably the defining moment in the history of our nation in, what, 100, 150 years. I mean, just to think of that and all that's transpired from there and where it's still going. What is next for Dylan? Where is he at and what is he doing? He's still obviously touring and moving all around. What's next?
I think he'll just continue to tour. He's got another album coming out on May 20th. It'll be more songs that were sung by Frank Sinatra. Dylan, several times in his career, has gone through periods, 92 and 93, where he brings out old songs, and for some reason he wants to rejuvenate them, and then he kind of brings them back. And his last album, was all songs that were sung by Frank Sinatra, and his next one will be released on May 20th, and that one will be as well. And I think in the future I think he tours now just because that's what he does. I don't think he knows how to do anything else. He just continues to tour, and, he's not playing a lot of the songs from the 60s right now. It's a lot of more recent stuff, and if you look at the songs he's done in the 90s and 2000s, in many ways, it might be different, but they're just as good as anything he did in the 60s. Time Out of Mind got a Grammy Award, and, you know, Love and Theft and Tempest, and he's still writing. He's still doing everything, still out there on the road. He's in Japan right now. He'll take the month of May off, and then he'll be back touring around the U.S. in June. So the guy is just constantly on the move, moving forward, doing everything from writing. This next album, he didn't write the songs. They're all songs Frank Sinatra sung. But it should be a lot of fun to hear, and people tend to like anything that Dylan puts out. Those that Dylan touches, he can touch very deeply. And I really appreciate the comments, and thank everyone that has ever served our country in any kind of way. But to be under those circumstances and to be able to connect back to America just through something like music, to me, that's a pretty amazing thing.
I mean, the awards that Dylan has achieved are beyond all comprehension. 11 Grammy Awards, Academy Award, a Golden Globe, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, Polar Prize Music, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Absolutely. Yeah. They just and they go on and on from there even. I mean, it's just he has achieved, you know, honorary doctorate degrees. He's achieved so many awards. And with Bob Dylan, it's, they're obviously, you know, he's performed before several presidents. He got to perform for the Pope. He's had some major audiences. And he was one of the Kennedy Center honorees, back in the late 80s. And, of course, who was the one that inducted him, that actually came out and sang the song, The Times They Are A-Changing? Bruce Springsteen, who is so highly influenced by Dylan. For him, it was a song like a Rolling Stone. He said that that first rim shot on the drums, he said, caught him, and he said it was a sound that he'd never heard before, and that's what turned him on and made him want to go into music.
We have a couple more tracks today. We share another one right now. I have this is actually, the next one is a band called Low, who is also, of course, from Duluth. And this is a track from our very first Duluth Does Dylan CD 15 years ago. Low is interesting in that they're a husband-wife duo, led by a husband-wife duo, and then they have a bass player with them as well. And they basically, but the band is basically built around their writing and around their just gorgeous harmonies. In fact, Robert Plant covered two of their songs recently on one of his most recent records. He's a huge fan. So they're kind of they're the type of band that travel worldwide. The BBC loves them and things like that. But they're more known. They're more of an artist band, you know, than a mass appeal band. Anyways, they did a cover of Blowin' in the Wind, and it really features their harmonies. They really stripped it down to kind of let the lyrics just be out there, almost like a sung poem. And maybe now would be a good time to share that.
Please do.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? And how many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing. Blowing in the wind.
tears come to the eyes. I mean, what else can you say? It's one of the greatest songs that has ever been written in the history of mankind.
Agreed, and I think it just shows it when it can be presented so simply. I mean, of course, they have gorgeous, lush harmonies, but there's also not anything else going on there except the song. It's just, like you say, it just gives you shivers.
I read it in that Rolling Stone article also, that he wrote that the lyrics for that song in less than 10 minutes. Is that true?
It's just about 10 minutes. Yeah, many of the songs during that period, they asked Dylan, they've asked him many times, you know, how did you write that? And he would say, I have no idea. They just came out. They were just there, and they poured out, and they said, could you do it now? And he said, no, I have no idea how I did it then. But he did. But, yeah, he did write that song in about 10 minutes and put it to music. And, you know, who knew that, you know, 55 years later, we'd still, you know, school kids and everything else are still singing that. And the impact that song has had on music itself.
You know, when I heard the song, I mean, just
tears to your eyes when you, especially when you hear it, like it was just played. You know, where all the words are there, and it gives you time to think.
What was unique in Dylan's upbringing? I mean, the four of us here, Bonnie and I, obviously are. The two of us being cousins, our home is on our grandparents' farm in northwestern Minnesota. He's over from northeastern Minnesota by Superior. What is there in his life, or what was there in his life within Duluth and within Hibbing that gave forth to this artistry?
The artistry question is, of course, difficult to answer. I think some of, and John, I'm sure, can fill in here too, but I think that the area, first of all, it was very hardworking, very working class, an extraction economy here. It was all about getting iron out of the ground up north, where Dylan spent his life from 6th to high school graduation, and then bringing it down to Duluth, where it was, you know, all about getting it on ships and shipping it out. And I think that, but at the same time, a lot of the immigrants coming into the area from, you know, the late 1800s, whenever that spigot kind of turned off in the early 1900s, mostly were Scandinavian, northern, you know, people from the north of Europe, that Finns, Swedes, Norwegians, and they already had a more progressive thought already going there. A lot of the earliest co-ops actually in the nation started in this region, because Finnish people needed a way to deal with the fact that, you know, the company store was too expensive, so they would start co-ops. They were the first labor organizers. And so a lot of the people then were organizing, they were working behind closed doors, so he was exposed to that constantly. And at the same time, each community up there had its own. You know, there was the Finnish community, and then down the road there was the Norwegian community and the Swedish community and the Czech community, and they kind of, people up on the Iron Range, each town sort of developed around a culture, and they had, you know, active dance halls and a vibrant scene. So he was exposed, in my vision of it is, you know, an active party and dance scene, and, you know, people who are struggling often have the most fun too, right, in their spare time. So that's kind of how I envision it. I think he was probably exposed to a lot of those progressive ideas, though, through that culture that was and is. I mean, Gus Hall, the founder of the American Communist Party, was from the Iron Range, and just a lot of really, there was actually in Duluth a Finnish man named Olli Kukkonen, who was tarred, feathered, and hung in Leicester Park here in Duluth for being a labor organizer. A lot of the Finns would change their names so that they could get jobs at the mines, because they were excluded because they were seen as rabble-rousers. So anyways, that culture was very much alive, and it was it was a serious game up here, and I think he was probably exposed to a lot of those ideas growing up through through his osmosis.
John, I mean, both his grandparents were Jewish. They escaped from some of the worst oppressive regimes in existence. What impact or what influence did that have on his life?
I think that, well, yes, you're right. His grandparents immigrated here, and again, by the time Bob was born in Duluth and started when they moved up to Hibbing when he was 6 years old, again, I think that, you know, knowing his own family history, knowing that where they came from, and at some point, you know, probably his late junior high school years, early high school years, he started, you know, tuning into radio late at night when you could get stations as far away as like Louisiana, and he started hearing some of these other bands. And of course, one of the events that really maybe perhaps changed Dylan's future was coming down to the Duluth National Guard Armory in January, I believe it was January 30th of 1959, and hearing Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, Richie Valens. They were with the Winter Dance Party, and of course, that turned out to be so significant because tragically, only a few nights later, they died in the plane crash. So Duluth was one of the last concerts they played, and that has had a huge impact on Bob's life. His upbringing here, the hard working, as Brad said, all the immigrants, and I think when he discovered music, that was maybe kind of his escape, and perhaps his chance is he even wrote in his yearbook, you know, what's your goal in life, and his was to join Little Richard. And of course, somewhere in between joining Little Richard and becoming a rock and roll star, he went to the University of Minnesota and discovered folk music. And when he discovered Woody Guthrie and the impact that his lyrics had, songs like This Land Is Your Land and 1913 Massacre and on and on and on, I think Dylan has been, as he himself wrote in a poem kind of about Duluth and the Iron Range, he said, you open up your eyes and you're influenced, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that's true for him. You're influenced by everything around you, everything you learn, everything you see, everything you do.
John, could you tell us a little about your radio show on Dylan, when people can find it, how they can listen to it, what's it about, please?
It started in 1991, I believe, in October. This will be the 25th anniversary, which is pretty amazing for a show that I thought would last about 3 months. But it's just a show where I play, I have the longest-running Dylan show in the world, according to one of his sons. I don't know if that's true or not, but I play all, not just music of Bob Dylan, but I play live music from concerts, I play outtakes, I play the album cuts, not the ones you're going to hear on a lot of top 40 radio. I play also the music of those he was influenced by, you know, Woody Guthrie and Ramblin' Jack Elliott and Joan Baez and even the Byrds, Roger McGuinn, and, you know, a little bit of Beatles. And I also play those that he, you know, was influenced by, like Johnny Cash, and also those he highly influenced. You know, there was a big relationship between the Byrds, Roger McGuinn, and Bob Dylan. And it was Roger McGuinn that kind of combined Bob Dylan's wonderful lyrics with the Beatles, twangy, great sound, and kind of invented folk rock. And so I play it all on my show, and it airs on Saturdays and Mondays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it can be streamed over the Internet at KUMD.org. So it's the same show Saturday and Monday. They re-air it. But I know I get emails from all over the world thanking me, and it's just one very, very small part. I think they let me do it because I am from the town that he grew up in, I think, and they just figure, you know, I'm trying to do justice to Bob Dylan. I'm never trying to reveal the dirt or the gossip or, you know, what a lot of these tell-all books are about. I just try and share a passion for his music, his life, and fill it with a little bit of information. And that's what Brad and myself and others on our local, you know, Bob Dylan Way committee try and do with this Dylan Fest every year, is we just try and celebrate the art, the poetry, the filmmaking, and of course the music that this guy from our area has influenced the world, and our musicians locally are still being influenced by Bob Dylan, And so we try and celebrate that every year.
I think one of the things we're going to do this year for Duluth Dylan Fest, again, it's over his birthday, which falls on May 24th, but May 24th itself will be Bob Dylan's 75th birthday this time. And so we're going to throw a big, as a city, we're going to throw a big birthday party for him. Early in the day, we're going to place, it just turns out that his birth home up here in the hillside overlooking Lake Superior in Duluth, it was purchased by a Dylan collector, so it's in safe hands. He is going to allow the committee. We're going to we had a local iron artist. It kind of looks like a manhole cover, but we're going to kind of make like a walk of fame sort of placement of that placard in the cement up so people can actually find it and get their pictures taken in front of his home when they come to Duluth and visit. And then later that day will be that evening. We're having our Duluth Does Dylan CD release party, and we're inviting all the bands from all four of the CDs to come and perform that night, just short sets of Dylan songs. And the mayor is going to make a proclamation naming it Duluth Does Dylan Day, and it's going to be just a phenomenal event. We have a great MC who's going to be the master of ceremonies, along with our own John Bushy here. So. If anybody is able to make the trip to Duluth this coming May, it really will be worth it, I think.
And not
can
just
you give us
May,
a website or information more on specific on the festival so people can look up it, and if they want to make the trip there, they can do it?
Absolutely. Our website is actually, all the information is actually up on a URL. It's called bobdylanway.com. BobDylanWay.com, and that has all the information, the schedules. There are links to get tickets there, and just real quick, some of the other, as long as we're on it, that some of the other real standout events that we do besides the CD release party, we're going to have on Thursday night, two nights later, we will have the Blood on the Tracks Express train ride, which is actually our local tourist train. We have a nonprofit tourism train here in Duluth. It's a historic train. And it runs up the North Shore, up and down the North Shore of Lake Superior. And so every year for Dylan Fest, we load, we'll have about, well, with musicians and everybody, we'll have about 400 people on the train. And we'll roll from the old, the historic depot here in Duluth, and we roll up to the next town up north of Duluth, which is called Two Harbors. And there are bands on the train on the way up. So it's essentially a rolling music festival on a train. And then when we get to Two Harbors, everybody disembarks, and we go into the American Legion up there. And actually, the local veterans in Two Harbors, they use it as a fundraiser, and they make tacos and food snacks for everybody who ride the train. And we party at the American Legion for a couple hours to a Bob Dylan cover band, which is actually, as you mentioned earlier, Bonnie, I'm in a band called the Boomchucks, and we do that. That's kind of our annual tradition. And then everybody gets back on the train. And we hightail it back to Duluth with bands aboard again. So that's a lot of fun. That's on Thursday night. And then on Saturday, there is going to be, especially interesting to people coming from far away, there will be a Duluth to Hibbing and back Bob Dylan bus tour. And that'll be a guided tour. And they'll go up and they'll eat at Sammy's Pizza, which is a historic, famous pizza place up in Hibbing. And they'll look at Dylan's sites along the way. And I'm sorry, that's on Friday. Then on Saturday, we have a postage stamp cancellation in Duluth. So if people want to come, and the U.S. Post Office actually allowed us to commission a stamp cancellation for the event. So that'll be fun if you want to get that. And then, of course, the museum, which we mentioned, will be going on the whole time. There are a lot of other events, too. I won't talk about all of them here, but if anyone has any interest, please do go to bobdylanway.com and check it out.
There's a lot to do up there in Duluth and Superior. I remember when I was small, there was this old rickety bridge that we went over that terrified me when I was little. I mean, that's, 50-odd years ago, 60 years ago.
I wonder if that was up the, is that an automobile bridge, you mean, or a walking bridge? Is that the
automobile bridge.
Yeah, is that the Oliver Bridge, perhaps, in West Duluth?
Probably.
Way back when, that it cost like a nickel to actually go across that bridge. And I remember my mom telling me stories that you know, my grandparents used to shove my mom into the trunk of the car to save a nickel.
I remember being terrified too, hauling coal and my dad for riding along as my dad hauled coal for my grandparents and coming across that. And it was all wooden planked, and yeah, and every plank seemed to roll up as you drove on it. And so for little kids, it's a little bit, sure, this is all right, Dad, but yeah, it worked.
Well, this has been absolutely incredible. Is there anything in closing that you guys would like to talk about Dylan, or what his impact, or where he's going, or what's next, or how people can celebrate him?
Well, I'll start here. As I'd like to have you know, several of you give your input to that, because Dylan to me means different things to different people. People always say, you know, what's your favorite Dylan album or what's your favorite Dylan song, and my response is fairly typical for many serious Dylan fans, and I can't pick one. It depends on the mood I'm in, you know, on what mood I'm in. Dylan has attracted and written in so many different genres of music, and he's performed in so many different, even his same songs. He'll perform them one way one year, and 2 years later it'll be a completely different rewrite of the song. Same words, but completely it could go from acoustic to rock and roll. And for me, it's about, that's what I enjoy about Bob Dylan, is that he's always changing. He's never settling and saying, this is the way this is. I'm always going to look forward and move forward and try and make things better, always try and improve them. And that's just from my point of view. You know, Brad, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I draw a lot of inspiration from him as an artist about keep moving forward, keep being yourself and doing your thing and contributing where you can. Stay authentic, and but keep moving. And I think if we all did that in our own way, the world would be a lot better place.
I guess we're still looking for the answer to the historic question, when will they ever learn, aren't we?
We are. Yeah, we are. We do have a local band here. It's that we could take it out with. It's called Million Dollar Bash. It might sum up the festival, if there's time to take it out.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for the today. We really appreciate it.
Well, that big dumb blonde with the wheels are gorged. Turtle that front of his with his checks all forged. His cheeks in a trunk and his keys in the cash. They're all gonna be there at that Million Dollar Bash. Ooh, baby. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, baby. Ooh, it's a Million Dollar Bash. Everybody from right now to over there and back. The louder they come, the bigger they crack. Come on now, sweet cream, don't forget to flash. We're all gonna meet at that Million Dollar Bash. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. It's a Million Dollar Bash. Well, I took my counselor up to the barn. Feeling Nellie was there, she told him a yarn. Then along came Jones and emptied the trash. Everyone went down to that Million Dollar Bash. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. It's a Million Dollar Bash. I'm hitting it too hard, my stones won't take. Gotta get up in the morning, but it's too early to wake. First hello, goodbye, then I push and I crash. But we're all gonna make it at that Million Dollar Bash. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. It's a Million Dollar Bash. Well, I looked at my watch and I looked at my wrist. Punched myself in the face with my fist. I took my potatoes down to be mashed. And I made it over at the Million Dollar Bash. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. It's a Million Dollar. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh, baby. Ooh-wee. It's a Million Dollar Bash.
Well, thank you very much, Brad, John, Bonnie, Ray, and, you know, God bless everybody. One thing that did happen is clear from this program. God did bless us with Bob Dylan. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.